You know, there's people that come into your life, and I know that I beat the drum on this. There's people that come into your life that make such an impact on you that you know that the connection, the relationship will last a lifetime. There's an old song, a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And I think of that when I think of people like the Crossetts, Todd and I. It's just been a fun relationship. There's no, you know, there's some people you get around, you got to be careful everything you do, and especially being, dad's been a pastor since we were kids, so we couldn't chew bubblegum in church without somebody pointing at us. But when you hang with, Judy, you know what I'm talking about. But when you hang with Todd, you can throw food. Linda, you're looking at me like I'm in trouble here. You can throw food. You can laugh. You can be built up. You can be loved by people like this. So if you don't have great friends, if you say, I just feel alone, these people right here are people that have the heart of God. And tonight, Cheryl is going to speak with for us. But before she comes, you kind of get to know people when you hang out with them a lot. We went camping, and I won't bring up all of it, but all the fun stuff. But we were talking, Samantha, my wife Samantha, myself, and Cheryl out by a campfire one night, and she began to just express her heart and her love for people. And I'll tell you what, Jesus said, you can have the best voice, you can be the best preacher, you can all these things, but if you don't have love, you've missed it all. This is a lady that loves God's people, and I promise you, you're going to be blessed tonight. I do want you to embarrass her a little bit. If you can help me with that tonight, would you get up and welcome Miss Cheryl Crossett? Come on. Come on, bless her tonight.
Hello, I got to put my specs on. I thought he was going to say old lady. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Thank you for having me tonight, Pastor. And I'm just so blessed to be able to speak and be used by God yet again. Tonight, I'm going to start by giving you a short synopsis of Joseph. I know you guys have probably already heard of Joseph. You know what he's done. But I'm just going to, not going to read out of the Bible, because the story I'm going to be talking about tonight goes from chapter 37 to 50. And I'm sure you don't want me to read all that to you. So I'm just going to shorten it up for you. So for those of you who don't know Joseph, he was, his father was Jacob. He had 12 sons. Joseph was born to Jacob in old age. So Joseph was Jacob's favorite. He loved him very much. He loved all of his sons, but he loved him very much. And Joseph had dreams, and the dreams that Joseph had were dreams that represented his brothers and father bowing down to him. And he would share those dreams with his brothers and father, and his brothers would laugh at him and make fun of him, but they grew very jealous of him in their hearts. So they decided to throw him in a pit and then sell him into slavery. And a man named Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, bought Joseph and brought him back home. And Joseph had been put in charge of Potiphar's home. And Potiphar really trusted Joseph in doing what he did. So that tells us that Joseph was probably a hard worker and a very trustworthy person. And the Bible actually says that Potiphar only worried about what he ate. So that's how much he actually trusted Joseph. And so Joseph was doing a great job, and lo and behold, Potiphar's wife decided to take a look at him and go, oh, he's pretty cute. I think, you know, I'm going to try to see if I can, you know, entice him a little bit. And Joseph didn't fall for it. He said, if Potiphar trusts me with his whole house, why would I not let him trust me with his wife? She got upset about the fact that he denied her, so she told Potiphar that Joseph tried to seduce her. And Potiphar got angry, threw Joseph into prison. So now Joseph is in prison. God's favor was on him. God's favor was on him when he was in Potiphar's house, so much so that everything that Potiphar had was blessed. So in prison, here he is. God's favor is on him there. And the guards end up putting him in charge of all the prisoners in the jail. So time went by, and Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker ended up being thrown into prison, probably because they offended Pharaoh for who knows what. And Joseph was put in charge of them. And he had been walking by and noticed that they were kind of down. And he said, what's going on? And they said, well, we had these dreams. We're not really sure what they mean. And we don't have anybody to interpret them for us. And he said, well, let me pray and God will help me to interpret them. So he interpreted the dreams. He told the cupbearer that in 3 days he would be put back at his post with Pharaoh. And he told the baker, not so good news, that he wasn't going to survive past 3 days. But he asked the cupbearer, in 3 days, can you please remember me? I'm an innocent man. I was thrown in prison. Please remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. Obviously, the cupbearer said, yes, I will, of course. So 3 days came. Lo and behold, the cupbearer was restored with Pharaoh. The baker, well, he wasn't alive anymore. And the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. So now here's Joseph in prison. Cupbearer forgot about him. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. He's disturbed by the dream. He doesn't know what it means. It's a recurring dream. He doesn't have anybody to interpret it for him. And the cupbearer suddenly goes, oh, wait, I know a guy. I met a guy in prison that interpreted a dream for me. Well, I don't know about you, but if somebody told me, hey, I met a guy in prison, have him come help you, I'd be like, well, I think I'll look for somebody else. But Pharaoh didn't. Pharaoh said, okay, we'll bring him to me and we'll see what happens. So Joseph went before Pharaoh and Pharaoh said, I heard you can interpret dreams. And Joseph said, well, I can't, but God can. And so with God's help, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh's dreams were that Egypt was going to experience a 7-year abundance and then a 7-year famine. And then Joseph explained to him how he could survive and how he could help his people in Egypt survive the 7-year famine. And so then Pharaoh was so impressed by what Joseph had done that he put him as second in charge of all of Egypt. So Joseph then ended up helping during the abundance. He ended up storing enough food to feed people during the famine. And he also ended up feeding people around the countryside, which ended up saving his own family as well. So that's the quick story of Joseph, told as fast as I could possibly tell it. I just want to pray real quick before I go further. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity. I pray that as I bring forth what you gave me today, Lord, that it would just be you speaking through me and not me at all, Lord, and that you would just bless everybody that hears it, Father God, and I just pray that it would just be useful to them. In your name I pray, amen. So hearing Joseph's story, we see a 3D view of his circumstances. We see his defeats, his defining moments, and his destiny. Does anybody remember 2D cartoons way back when? They were just like drawings on a paper. Linda raises her hand. Well, then they started making 3D, which, impressive, you look at the screen, you're like, it's a person, like a whole person. Or if, for the younger people, puzzles. They had just 2D puzzles where you'd put them together on a table, and then they came out with 3D puzzles. So now you're actually building sculptures and stuff like that. So the difference between the 2D and the 3D is that the 3D gives you the whole perspective. And from Joseph's story, we're able to see the whole perspective, the 3D perspective. And Joseph's story teaches us how to handle our circumstances. So let's just review his defeats really quickly. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely imprisoned. And he was forgotten by the cupbearer. Those are just a few. I'm sure he had many more. So the definition of defeats is being demoralized and overcome by adversity, being prevented from achieving aim, or having been beaten in battle. Defeats come in many forms. You can be defeated from sin, from bad choices, betrayal. You could be defeated in your finances, in relationships, in addictions, and in loss. So many different types of defeats that we can go through life, and many more than I mentioned. But what does the Bible say about defeats? In James 1, 2-4, we are told to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Why do we need to be mature and complete? Well, so that we can fulfill our destiny. Have you ever met anyone that seems to go through the same struggle over and over and over again? They recognize that they go through it. They know that they're stuck in some kind of a wheel that just keeps going around, and they can't seem to find their way out. But yet you look at them and you see their circumstances, and you can clearly see what they need to do to get out of the situation that they're in, but they can't see it themselves. Why can't they see it? Because they've stopped dreaming. Because when you're defeated, you stop dreaming. When you're defeated, you stopped dreaming. Sorry. God shows us through Joseph what our responses should look like. Joseph could have decided to not even bother. When he was sold into slavery, he could have been like, okay, I'm defeated, I'm done. I don't know how to come back from this, I'm just done. And if he did that, his outcome would have been different. His destiny would have been different. What steps can we take to get ourselves out of defeat? Trusting in God to see you through it, no matter what the defeat is, your sin or a result of someone else, because Joseph, it was a result of his brothers. It was a result of someone else that got him into those defeats. You can bring it to the light, no matter what it is, because if it stays in darkness, it's just going to continue. You bring it to the light, you deal with the consequences, you get past it. You let go of it. Don't carry it around with you. A lot of the times we think that we've overcome the defeat, but yet we end up just taking it with us everywhere we go, and we keep bringing it up over and over again in life. And we need to be aware when we're defeated. That is the number one. If we don't know that we're defeated, we're not going to do anything about it. Which brings me to our second D. I got three Ds tonight. Defining moments. Defining moments is a time that shows very clearly what something is really about. If you look back on your life, you may remember some choices that you made that really changed the direction of your life. Those are defining moments. The moment that you're urged to make a decision when something is not going right or you're going down the wrong path. Instead of allowing yourself to be stuck in the defeat, look for a way out. Look at the positive. Change your mindset. Make your mindset go, I need to get past this. I need to find a way to get beyond this so that I'm not stuck. If we can just look at our circumstances as opportunities for growth, then we would face them head on, and they wouldn't stop us. Joseph's mindset set him apart from everyone else. He did the best he could in every situation that was put in front of him. Don't allow defeat to be your destiny. The third D, destiny. The event that will necessarily happen in the future. You have the power to shape your destiny. Joseph is a prime example of this because he could have given up not once, twice, or three times, but many times, but he chose to keep going. He didn't know specifically what God was going to do in his life, but he held on to the dreams that he had, even though his brothers laughed at him. He could have stopped dreaming. He could have thought, oh, that's ridiculous. It's not realistic, right? Because how many of our dreams, how many of us think that, you know, our brothers bowing down to us would be a realistic dream? So that would have been an easy one for him to go, that's kind of funny. It was on my own imagination, not really a dream. So for us, what we can do is to believe that we were created for something greater than our circumstances. Because you were created for something greater than your circumstances. We can believe that we have a destiny and that our destiny has a purpose. Now, your destiny may not be the same as Ryan's destiny, and it may not be the same as Brad's destiny. Sorry, Brad. it's never happened to you, right? but you can't compare what your destiny is to what someone else's destiny is, because your destiny is yours. We can know that our current state does not define our future. So where you are right now does not have any bearing on where your future is going to be. So you could be struggling with a relational issue. You could be struggling with marriage problems. You could be struggling with finances. All it takes is a decision, a defining moment. I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to let this keep me back. Give yourself permission to start visualizing great things for yourself. This is really hard to do, because if you can't, like, I don't have the ability. Sometimes I actually think about, it's all in my head. You know, this is my imagination running away with me. When I start visualizing things I could do, oh, no, I can't do that. That's crazy. You know, it's hard for us to visualize stuff for ourselves. And sometimes when you think, okay, do I have a dream? You don't think of anything. Nothing comes to your mind. And if that happens for you, ask God to give you one. Start praying and say, you know what, God, give me a dream. Give me visions. Give me something that I can start striving towards. And he'll do it. You want a dream of owning your own home, living a life free from addictions, having a family, owning your own business. There's so many dreams out there that you can have. But there's bigger ones. How about leading worship in an auditorium full of thousands of people? For some people, that would be a dream of theirs, not mine. How about speaking into auditoriums of people, trying to encourage them to change their lives for the better? There's no limits to the dreams that you can have. So my point in telling you all of this is to tell you, those dreams are important. Don't stop them. Keep them coming. Pray and ask God for them. But we also need to focus on the journey. If you're not focused on the journey, then you're not going to know when you're stuck in defeat. If you look at your circumstances in 3D, you're going to be prepared for the defeats when they come, so that you can be ready to take action and make that defining moment choice that will catapult you to your destiny instead of getting stuck. So I'm just going to be a minute longer. I want to encourage you before I end to start dreaming. If you're not sure what your dreams are, ask God to help you and place them in your heart, and don't limit yourself. What is your destiny for 2019? Have you thought about it? Have you prayed about it? If you haven't, then let's start. I wanted to share with you this last quote by Rick Godwin that was suggested to me by Twitter, and it kind of blew me away at first when it was, because I've never had Twitter suggest something to me before, but it was so perfect, and it fit right in with what I was going to be speaking on tonight. So it is, expect that it will take longer than you think. Expect that you will be pushed farther than you think you can go. Expect that you will feel like giving up. That one really spoke to me, because I feel like that a lot. Expect what's coming so you can push past it, and expect what you have, that you have what it takes to win. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this message tonight, and I pray that each person that has heard it will hide it in their hearts for such a time as when they need it. I pray that as each of us face our own times of defeat, that you would remind us of how to move past it and use it for your glory. Please give each one of us a dream for 2019 and help us to make that defining moment decision that pushes us towards the dreams And when we feel like giving up, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to press on and give us strength to keep going. In your name I pray. Amen.
Wow, come on, let's give the Lord. That was amazing. That was amazing. Stay up here a minute. I picked up my granddaughter, Jamin, last week. Picked her up and Andrew and Ryan. It was Jamin's birthday. And I said to her, honey, what's your dream for this year coming? She paused a minute. She looked up at me. She goes, Bobby, my dream is I want to go to Hawaii. I said, well, your dad will love to hear that. But you know what? At 12 years old, the dream machine is working. And everything that Cheryl spoke about tonight is about your, Pastor Tommy Barnett calls it the dream machine working inside of you. You got to have that happening. If you don't, you'll shrivel up and you'll just give up. And I don't care how old you are. I'm older now. Not that old, but I am older. And I'm dreaming bigger than I've ever dreamed before. I'm believing God for greater things than I've ever. If you even knew, I was in here Tuesday morning, I was praying, and I just closed my eyes a minute and I just start to dream. If you could even imagine of the dreams that came into my mind, you would like, first of all, you'd say, he is out of his mind. And if you think that, just leave me alone. I'm enjoying it. But God, you know, everything that I've ever walked in my life, I've dreamed it before. Got to have that working in your life. Cheryl, come on down right front. Todd, come on down with your wife. If you just want them to pray over you tonight, you lost your dream. Just come down. Say, you don't have to tell them anything. They'll just lay their hand on you. Just pray for that to come to pass in your life. I'm going to close in prayer. While I'm praying, you just come on down if that's you. One other thing I want you to do tonight, too. For some of you, before you leave, if six or eight of you could make your way up to the prayer board and just take one of those prayer requests and pray over it for just 3 minutes before you leave tonight, that would be incredibly wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to pray. If you want them to just lay their hand on you and pray for that dream to begin to boil up in you, I want you to come. Father, I thank you tonight for sending your servants into your house. And I pray, Lord, that even as Cheryl spoke that tonight, that you will stir into their hearts and in their lives and their family, God, dreams beyond anything that they could even imagine or think. I pray your hand upon them to do great things in the days ahead. Lord, what a powerful message that you deposited in her heart, that you brought through her lips tonight. Bless her, God, doubly, because she honored you with your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. You want prayer before you leave? Come on down, see them if you can. Half a dozen, six, eight, ten of you, if you come up to the board before you leave, and just spend a few moments and pray over those needs up there. Okay, I love you. Make sure you love somebody before you leave, too.